Proverbs 8 today, and I would title this Wisdom Personified. I think we'll read through the chapter. I have divided it into two sections by way of perhaps organizing my thoughts to remember the content. The first verse to the 21st verse are men, and then the 22nd verse to the end, wisdom with God. Now let's just read it right through. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an... All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths, cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. Now the wisdom with God. The Lord possessed me, Yahweh, the possessor of heaven and earth, in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth depths I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds upon the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with us. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. For the purpose of understanding a little section by section, we've divided it this way. The wisdom among men, verses 1 to, I put 21 here, and then the first section is like the invitation. What is the, who is wisdom inviting? It's an invitation. Secondly, is a 7 little points that I've dug out, little hidden meanings to the nuggets of truth, which describe wisdom, wisdom describe. And third are 3 promises of wisdom to those who love wisdom. Now that's just a little outline, and we'll fill it in right now. Notice at the first and second, we're just going to go verses by verses today mostly. Notice the invitation. The first point, that it's public and it's open to all. Nothing secretive. It's a loud voice with which wisdom is shouting. In other words, wisdom isn't for privileged few, for people who have certain talents and certain gifts or certain intelligence. It's for the for all, a loud cry. Standing at the places where people, where she'll be seen, at the top, places where people pass by at crossroads, in shopping centers, marketplaces. Wisdom is speaking everywhere, and that loudly. And at the gates of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Will you notice that? That's the gates and the doors are the places of commerce, the places of law, the place of business and judgment. It's the places of entrance in and out. It's the place where decisions are made and where opportunities are given. So that's, notice that, because we'll come to the gates and the doors later. And then that's the invitation, public and open to all. Second point is that the invitation is to us. It's to people. It's an invitation to men, calling them. And in a special way, calling a certain class of men, if you notice in verse 5, calling those who need to hear it, calling the simple and calling the fools, those who are wayward. This is wisdom's concern, to bring back on track those who are wandering. And third, what is the invitation given? It's given to hear in verse 6. It's an invitation to hear. To hear both in two dimensions. To hear with the ear and hear with the heart. If you notice, it says here in verse 6, hear, for I will speak excellent things. That is right things. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, has got right things for us to hear. But in verse 8, as you will notice, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. In other words, it's to hear with the heart in right living, with the ear, the right words, and with the heart, the right living. Because that is the purpose of God's wisdom. It is to be lived out, as we've already been reminded this morning so beautifully. It's not just to be stored up, but to be lived out. In verse 8, we see a messianic prophecy hidden in, as a hidden meaning in this nugget of truth. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. No one but Jesus Christ, who ever came in the flesh, in all the history of mankind, could ever speak those words. None of us could ever say those words. We can only quote them as coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ. So he is wisdom inviting us. The fourth point I would make to this is that acceptance to this invitation is conditional on two scores. Verse 9 gives you one and verse 11 the other. Verse 9 says, they are all plain. Wisdom is understandable, it's discerned, it's received, and right to them that find knowledge. And remember, we've studied before, what is knowledge? It's the knowledge of the holy. You just turn your eye over to chapter 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy, Holy One, is understanding. So we come back to chapter 8 now and see that verse 9 there in chapter 8, we only find knowledge as we, A, have the knowledge of God, the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. And all the rest of the wisdom that we want to walk in, that we want to increase our knowledge and understanding of, will only be built upon and progress from that initial fear of the Lord, trusting the Lord. This is such a comfort. Yesterday, I had a heart-rending telephone call from somebody who gave me a story that really all I could do is just weep and cry out to the Lord, mercy, 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 for the person who is hurting so badly, this precious, weak sister. And she kept saying, I don't know what to do. And I could only think, what would I do either? What would I do? But it was such a comfort not to have to just cry with her. You know, I had something much more I could say. Let's start with this. We know we're helpless. That's right place to begin. All right, we cast our burden on the Lord. We cast it all on the Lord and declare we're absolutely helpless. Gone is all advice. Gone is all this now, you step one, step two, and all the rest. Let's just simply cast the whole thing as hopeless and put all our hope in the Lord. No other place. I said, secondly, part of the purposes of the problem of this, of course, is lack of love. All right, we don't have human love. Frankly, my love would not love the party that she is married to. I could not love that person. And I can't tell her, now love him. But I can say, let's ask for such an outpouring of God's love that you'll be flooded with love to forgive. Love to give love. That will be God-given, holy love. After all, doesn't he love us? And she accepted that. She saw that. So let's just say, Lord, just flood me with your love. No love of mine will ever reach or cover this. And then the third, I said, at this point, your husband is your enemy. All right, what are we to do? Bless him. Bless him. Just pray a blessing on him. Don't think of what he needs and what God needs to say to him, how God needs to straighten him out. Just pour such a prayer of blessing on him. And I said, I can only say, sister, it would be hard to do all that, but that is wisdom. And I know it's right. And I know it makes for righteousness. And God will vindicate. He's the one who will bring to pass. There'll be a blessing out of it when we walk in his way. But I can't say it's easy. It's hard to say, I will, is that song. I will praise the Lord, I will. So those who find knowledge start, find it first with the fear of the Lord and find it secondly with spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. And in chapter 20, verse 12, it says this, that the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord has made both of those. And so we come to his word today in profound words of God, as this chapter is. Who of us can even understand it? We ask the Lord, oh, give me eyes to see, Lord, ears to hear. For we shall never, ever dig to the depths of all the gold mine here. And that was the one, those who find knowledge have to discover the source. The second point of conditional acceptance is that those who choose spiritual wisdom have to make a choice of priorities. Those who are desiring to accept it have to make a choice of spiritual versus material wealth. And that is found in verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. There's no conflict of interest allowed. For us who desire to grow in God's wisdom, it must be first in our lives. And no other goals must rival that goal. If our goal is to become wealthy materially, if our goal is an ambition in the world, or our goal is the friendship of the world, friends, or any other goal than the Lord, we're not going to find all the wisdom he has for us. All right, that's under the title of invitation. Under the title of wisdom described, we'll just go on. The first point I would make is it's invaluable. Invaluable. And of course, verse 11 describes that. It's better than rubies. And with verse 11, if you just look over to verse 19, it's not only invaluable in itself, but its very products are better than gold. The fruit of it, the results of it, what it creates is so much better than anything that this world can afford or give. The ultimate product is described in verse 35. Who finds me finds life and divine favor. Life and divine favor. And I'm not going to give you the details of what some of those wonderful products are, but I'm going to give you five references and let you do some digging in the gold mine and find them at home. First is Matthew 11:29. Second is Luke 11:28. Third is John 14:21. Fourth is John 17:2-3. And fifth is John 3:36. Some of those invaluable treasures that wisdom provides. All right, that's the first point. The second point in verse 12 is that wisdom knows where to search for more understanding. Wisdom initiates knowledge, but it also gives the initiate the knowledge of where else to research for further wisdom. And that simple little illustration I gave yesterday was a very practical one of just that. Obviously, the Lord has put us with feet on earth, and we can dwell in principles, but he intends for principles to be performed in practice. And there will be little steps that sister has to take in order to bring about the wholeness and the healing and the miracles that God has, cooperative steps with the Creator. And that wisdom will be given as she gets the principle at work of wisdom first, choosing God's way, then he will bring forth his way into her works. Third point of wisdom described is in verse 13, where it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And I want to point out here that we can only attain wisdom as we hate foolishness. There's got to be an attitude of hating evil or putting that behind us. What is some of this foolishness? Well, pride is a block to further learning, isn't it? It's the meek will he teach his way. So that if we choose pride, we are unteachable. But that's why pride we have to hate. And the evil way, basically, this evil way is where I am Lord, self. Where I am operating by self-centeredness, being boss in my own life. And so I've got to hate the self way in order to find the God way. I've got to die to myself in order to live to Jesus Christ. And The third point, the froward mouth or perverse is like deceit. And that's where one lacks integrity. One's got to be true, true in purpose, for real, not a phony, not something, not someone who's wanting the outward manifestations, but somebody who wants it from the depths inside. Not someone who's willing to, for instance, praise the Lord because it's the right thing to do in this particular kind of a group, but who wants to really praise the Lord from the depths of the being. That is true integrity. And I don't think God is so concerned about the beautiful words or the thoughts expressed or the gift of a new language to praise him, as he is the heart that's genuinely saying, Lord, I love you and I praise you. And every so often, he gives you some precious little touch to just open your eyes to wonder how loving he is. I had a moment of real worship, deep with tears in my eyes this week when my daughter lost her purse and it was stolen. She came home distraught. She's had a jacket stolen before Christmas and now she got her purse stolen. I think she just began to feel she's surrounded by thieves. Mm-hmm. And she only had 2 or 3 minutes that she left it at a wrestling meet. And she came home and the thing that was really getting her was that all her little pictures, she had so many precious little sentimental pictures that had lost, and other papers and so on, a driver's learner's permit and all this kind of thing. And it's pretty hard, isn't it, to see your daughter hurting. It would hurt you in any way, but you have a double hurt when you also see her hurting, and the purse itself was a Christmas gift from me, so I felt badly about that. Finally, as she paced the floor and kind of weeping, unlike her, I said, now let's really pray. Our Heavenly Father, he's so gracious and he loves his little children. And Ruth, it wouldn't be beyond his possibility to bring back those pictures, even if the money's gone, even if the purse is gone. He knows that those little pictures are precious to you. Why don't we just pray? I think she thought I was peculiar. She stayed her distance, but I prayed with her in the bedroom. And we just said, dear Lord, would you be so gracious if it seemed right? We just need to learn our lessons, and you have purposes and all these things for us, but would it be possible to bring those pictures back? The next day she heard that the wallet had been found empty, absolutely empty. And the person who found it had seen some pictures but had thrown them back thinking they weren't, you know, weren't of importance. So Ruth called Doug, who went, bless his heart, straight from Lehigh to search, couldn't find them. Then she went with my husband to search that night, couldn't find them. And it had been snowing and we figured by then it was all ruined. And then on Saturday night at supper time, a 10-year-old boy calls. He found the inside of a wallet, all intact on a bush, protected, where he'd been playing hide and seek. All these pictures. I just said, I wrote a little note and put it on her bed. Does God answer prayer? He surely does. And he surely loves you. And I just said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, that's just so gracious of you. It touches me deeply. Fourth point, counsel. For verse 14, counsel is mine, the advice that I need and the advice to give to others. For we're all in the position of being burden bearers and burden sharers. And so we need to have wisdom, don't we? And sound wisdom, and I think of sound wisdom as sane wisdom, a sanctified common sense that the Lord will give us, a balance, in other words, and strength. And I think of strength that we need for emotional stability, strength for mental balance, strength for spiritual standing against the enemy in all the various ways he attacks us. And this, when we have strength in our spirit and in our mind and in our emotions, we are on the way to strength and health in our body also. And then fifth point, in 15 and 16, By me, kings reign and princes decree justice and nobles rule and so on. That this wisdom is for ruling. It's a power for ruling, not for the advantage of the ambitious ruler, but in order that justice and judgment might be done. We'll skip verse 17 right now, go to 18 and 19, and the sixth point I have here is riches and honor are with me, but notice a certain kind, riches that endure. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, Proverbs 10:22, and he adds no sorrow with it. Riches that endure, and honor with righteousness. So the durable riches that remain, and honor which the Lord gives, that is with righteousness. Many desire a ruler's favor, but every man's favor comes from the Lord, every man's judgment from the Lord. And then point seven is verse 20, where it says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. And I believe that's important to know, that the wisdom of the fear of the Lord is leading us first in discerning truth and second in handling truth. So we want to know the righteous ways of righteousness to discern it. We have righteous the wisdom of God, and also to handle it. And I think that so often when God has given us a blessing, especially perhaps some of the charismatic blessings he's given to us, this is where we need to be reminded that we need wisdom with it in order to have righteousness. We can be empowered without wisdom, and it does not result in a righteousness, you know, a life that is holy and a life that is really to the glory of God. We get off balance, don't we?
Please stop your machine and turn the tape over.
Curriculum is taught in the heart and then comes forth from through the mouth. And then in verse 14, I have noticed here that it says, in other words, to store rather than to spill out. How easy it is some of us to be like babbling brooks, and we're commanded here, it's commanded for us to lay up our words and store them up for the right time. Sometimes we can speak out good words, but the wrong time, you know, receive the messages that we might have. It may not be good to even spill out good words. There's a time to store, and there's a time to speak. And to verse 19, to ration our words. And verse 20 is the silver tongue. Because, you see, words are worth what you are. Redeemed people. Silver is...